your glory.
So this morning, as you can see in the back of the bulletin, Jonathan Rasmussen, I asked Rasmussen, that's a Danish name. He says, yeah, well, apparently Rasmussen's famous name came to Samoa. So he's from Samoa, and Samoa, raised by Samoan parents in the military in Oceanside near San Diego. Second of six children. Father was a major influence in his life in leading him, sharing Christ with him. And he follows his father's footsteps in the military, and he's married, as you see, in children. And his family's with us today, so we're glad to see them. And he's worked for a number of churches involving almost all types of ministry, and he's finishing his Master of Divinity at Western Seminary. So that's Jonathan's background. So will you please now, for Bible scripture reading, let's turn to Genesis 22 and first 19 verses, the 19 verses there's there. You can turn there and see how Abraham was tested. Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I'll tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. We had cut enough wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the wood and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, and God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place of God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. And I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there was a thicket, and he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it is provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declare the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and your descendants as numerous as the star in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offering all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So that's a wonderful Bible story. So with that, Jonathan's message is entitled Abraham's Obedience and Exemplary Faith. Yeah. Jonathan?
morning, everyone. It is a privilege and an honor to be here to share God's word. I'd like to thank Rod for allowing me to have this opportunity, as well as the congregation here at the Baptist Church. I also would like to thank friends and my family for being here. This is an encouragement for me. So with that being said, let me pray. Yahweh, you know our hearts. And if we were like Isaiah and we were in your presence, we would be trembling. We would realize the sinfulness of our hearts and we would be undone. We thank you for Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished, and more so that he rose from the grave so that we could be here together. Father, you know your people and what they need. I pray that you would just anoint your message as you have done thousands of years ago. Thank you for meeting us here. May your spirit guide us. May it illuminate our thoughts. May we be focused on you and you alone. May we leave this building transformed, or as Paul would write in Romans, to be more like Christ. It is to your glory and is to our delight forevermore. Amen. So the title of the message is Abraham's Obedience, an Exemplary Faith. My hope and aim is to answer this question: what was Abraham's motivation for obeying? What was Abraham's motivation for obeying? So who was Abraham? 230 times Abraham is listed by name in the whole Bible. In James chapter 2, he is called a friend of God. But the relationship starts all the way back to Genesis 12. It is there that God took interest in Abraham. It was God who took the initiative to start a relationship that would last over 100 years. Interesting enough, in Genesis 12, Abraham would first encounter God by way of commandment. The first commandment that God would share with Abraham would leave his family and go to a distant land. But in that, God said he would bless him. So Abraham responded in obedience. He left those he loved, and he lived a nomadic life, traveling to the land of Canaan. Him, his wife, who had no child. Furthermore, as we would continue to read from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15, a very important chapter, it is here we get the privilege to see a conversation between Abraham and God. It is there that God would promise that Abraham would have a son. Abraham responded in faith by believing that God would do what he said, and that would be that he would have a son. Abraham trusted God, and he had confidence in what God was going to do. Later on in Genesis 21, we see that God would fulfill his word. Abraham at this time is 100 years old. 25 years have passed. And miraculously, Sarah gives birth to a son, and they name him Isaac. Listen to what Paul says about Abraham's faith. Romans 4, 18 through 21, and it reads, "In hope, Abraham believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was good as dead, because he was 100 years old, or even considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." As we come to our text, Genesis chapter 22, 1 through 19, I would like to do something a little bit different, and that is a way of sharing a story instead of reading the text of which brother has already read. In Genesis 22, 1 through 19, we find out that God from heaven calls Abraham. Abraham says, in response, "Here I am." Then God says, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to a distant land called Moriah. And there, sacrifice him." So Abraham, as usual, would obey. And so he would travel. He first raises up in the morning, puts on his clothes, preparing. He takes two of his young men with him, a donkey, and more importantly, his son. And they began the journey that would last 3 days. And all the while, as he was traveling, God would talk to him again and help him to realize where Mount Moriah was. And as he approached, somehow God spoke to him that this would be the place. And so Abraham, recognizing where the place was, he said to the two young men, "Wait here, me and the boy will go and worship, and we will come back." So he would travel with his son. Isaac, I believe, was a young man, probably 25 years old, and as him and his father are traveling to the place, we find out that Isaac understood worship. In other words, his dad had taught him what worship was. And thus he asked the question, "Father, where is the burnt offering? I see the wood, I see the knife and the fire." And Abraham replies, "Son, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb." So they continue to journey. Abraham goes to the place where God would ask him to go. Isaac carrying the wood. And as they get there, what does Abraham do? He begins to stack the wood. Imagine, here is an old man, about 125 years old, and he's placing the wood to build this altar. And then he binds his son and lays him there. Imagine what Abraham was feeling. His one and only son whom he loved. And so there his son is laid there, and he pulls out the knife to offer his son as a living sacrifice unto God. And then, behold, the angel of the Lord from heaven says, "Abraham, Abraham." And again, Abraham replies, "Here I am." And the angel of the Lord says, "Do nothing, for I know that you fear me." And Abraham lifts up his eyes, and he sees a ram in the distance. He goes and gets it and sacrifices it instead of his son. Then the angel of the Lord again speaks and said that, "I will surely bless you and multiply you, your offspring, and that your offspring would be a blessing to all the nations." My first point today is understand God's commandment. Or in short, understand God's command. In Genesis 22, 1 and 2, it reads, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I will tell you.'" Some of the things that I just want to point out in understanding God's command, the first phrase that you see, "after these things," Abraham by now has spent about 50 years learning about who God was. Some of these things he would learn in the previous chapters, from chapter 12 all the way to this chapter. that he would learn that God was a real person, that God talked and communicated in understandable ways, that God was interested in Abraham's life and his affairs, that God answered prayers, that God was a protector, that God was a righteous and just God, that God was also a friend, and that God was sovereign and all-knowing. Also, he would learn through those times with God that God was patient, gracious, and good, and that God kept his promises, especially the one with his son Isaac. You notice the word tested? That word test is just to prove something, to test, to see what was in a person's character. In the context, God was wanting to see if Abraham loved his son more than God. And so God tested him to see ultimately what would be his response. One of the things that I would like to point out also is that Abraham recognized God's voice. Through those years, he could understand God's voice. How about yourself? Are you in a position where you can recognize God's voice? That if God asked you to do something, would you be able to discern that that was God? For us who are born again, we have the Word of God. That if we ever needed something or some way to understand God, it would be the Word of God. But for Abraham, he knew God's voice. Sometimes my family and I try once a week to go do something as a family. And one of the things that we do as a family is go to a park or something and play with our two little ones, Grace and Adelaide. And what's interesting is that sometimes Grace will get ahead of herself and she'll be away. And so can you imagine that there is all these kids playing? But if I call Grace, she would be the only one to recognize that her dad is calling. Likewise, Abraham could recognize God's voice. Amazing, when God spoke, Abraham replies, "Here I am." In the Hebrew, there is a nuance that the English doesn't catch. In other words, Abraham was saying, "Lord, here am I, use me. What is it that you want me to do?" In the Hebrew, it conveys that. In other words, Abraham was willing to say, "God, if you need me to do something, I'm willing." It is the same word that in Isaiah 6:8, where Isaiah sees God, and he's amazed by who God is. And in that dialogue, God says, "I need to send someone." And what was his response? He says, "Here I am. Send me." You see that immediacy, urgency of serving God. It is the same thing with Abraham. Abraham was ready and prepared to do what God wanted him to do. The question was, what was God wanting him to do? You see, Abraham was willing. And some of us are like that. "Lord, tell me whatever you want me to do, I am willing." And then God comes and shares. We notice what God wanted Abraham to do. Three things. Take his son, go to a place, Moriah, and do what? Offer his son. Second point is responding to God's command. Responding to God's command. It does Abraham no good to understand God's command and do nothing. I look around and I see that there is a variety of ages. Most of the people are older or elders. But maybe some of you have friends that you ask them to do something. And if they do it, that's good. But what if you had someone you love and you asked them to do something and they did not do it? What would be your response? Or vice versa, you ask them to do something and for whatever reason, they understand what you're saying, but purposely and intently, they choose not to. Would that be Abraham? Would Abraham be the same way, that he understands God's command but doesn't want to do it? As I look around, I think to myself, what is God calling this church to do? Or even narrowing it down, what is God calling you to do? In his word, he reveals at least 1,200 New Testament commandments, imperatives that he calls all those who are born again to follow. But for the non-believer, there's only one. For the non-believer is to call on the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. Because in Romans 8, it says the person who is unborn or who hasn't a regenerate heart is hostile to God in what he wants them to do. So for the non-believer, there's only one commandment. But for the believer, there's 1,200 commandments. Like Abraham, he had three specific ones. And again, my question that I want to answer is, what motivated Abraham to obey? Many people say that he is an exemplary example because of what he did, his faith. Anyone could do anything. We look at churches today, and people come and say that they love God and that they will want to serve God. But what is the motivation behind that? And that is the question that I want to answer, why Abraham did what he did. So responding to God's command, the second point. As usual, Abraham would respond in obedience. How do we know? We look at verse 3. He rises early in the morning. He gathers the things that he needs. He gathers the wood. He gathers the two young men. He gets a donkey. And he puts all the supplies that they need to journey. But one of the most important things that he needed was what? His son. Because it wouldn't matter if he has all that and he wants to obey and yet he leaves his son behind. He could have done like his distant relative, Jonah. Just flee the scene and disobey God. He could have done that. He had an opportunity to do that. But Abraham, we see that his intentions was what? To obey God. After gathering everything, they journey to Mount Moriah. Abraham, again, with the intention to obey. When I was studying this, I began to ponder and think what was going through Abraham's mind. Can you imagine God asking you to give up something that you love so much, something that is so precious? Some scriptures came to my heart. Isaiah 26:3 says this: God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on God because he trusts in God. That's Abraham. Or Psalms 119:60. Again, this reminded me of Abraham. It says, I eagerly keep your commandments and do not delay. Have you ever been there before where God calls you to do something and you begin to question it? You begin to ponder like, God, is this really you? Was that with Abraham? No. Because I mentioned before, Abraham spent almost 50 years hearing God's voice. That it wasn't hard for him to guess, God, do you want me to sacrifice my son or not? Maybe that's my head. Maybe it's Satan. No, he understood and recognized God's voice. Jesus says the same thing in John 10. This is my sheep, what? Hear my voice. So it was no doubt in Abraham's mind. If you notice in verse 5, Abraham takes Isaac and he's going to leave the two men behind with the donkey. In verse 5, he says, we will go and worship and come back. We will go and worship and come back. He had a faith and it showed that he trusted God. Why? If you take the time just to read this slower and slower, you would begin to understand what I mean. Abraham says to the two young men, me and my son will go, and worship. What is worship? You find that later on in the verse is to make a burnt offering. What is Abraham going to do? Sacrifice his son. What is Abraham saying? He's saying, I will go and worship with my son. In other words, Abraham knew what he was going to do. He was going to sacrifice his son. But what does he say? He says, we will come back. Another indication of his faith. Thus he said to the man, we will go worship and come back. Abraham didn't understand how God would do that in regards of bringing his son back. But he had a solid faith. He trusted God, as Romans says, that he believed that God would do what he said he would do. A small note in this section about Isaac. In my personal study, verse 5, it says that Isaac was what? A boy. The Hebrew word is na'ar. It could mean lad. It could be young man. It could mean boy. It could mean slave. I believe in this context, which is the same word that's used for the two what young men. It's the same exact word. Some translations say that instead of two young men, it'll say two slaves. In my opinion, which is not infallible or inerrant or inspired, my personal opinion, is that Abraham was a young man, not a boy. I believe that he was probably roughly 25 years old. That's a big kid. And so we see some indication of Abraham and his son and the conversation they were having in verse 7. What is it that Isaac says to his father? He says, I see the wood, the knife, the fire, but I do not see what? The sacrifice. See, Isaac understood what worship was. Abraham did his responsibility as a father by taking care of Isaac when he was an infant, when he became an adolescent, to a teenager, now to be a young man. And Isaac understood that, so he asked his dad, Father, where's the burnt offering? And notice again Abraham's reply in verse 8, God will provide for himself a lamb. Hopefully you see something going on here, folks. First point was that Abraham understood God's command. The second point, Abraham responds to God's command. That Abraham had faith, but he was living that out. He was intentionally going to obey God. Because what? Ultimately, when he sacrifices his son, he has fulfilled what God has called him to do. And in that, he would obey. Which hasn't happened until we get to verse 9 and 10. Verses 9 through 14, our third point, motivation of obeying God's command. The motivation obeying God's command. Let me just read it really quick. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar, which was on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, and he replied, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on your son, your only son, because now I know that you fear me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham went and took and offered the ram as a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14, so Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Abraham, we see in verse 9, he reached the destination. God again says, this is the place. Abraham is in tune with God. So he gets there. Imagine with me that he takes the wood off his son. He begins to stack it up. And then the moment comes, the time to bind his son Isaac. But as I was studying, I began to think, if he was an American, what would Isaac say? What about me? What do I got to say in all this? Here is a young man about 25 years old, strong, fit, probably fast. His father is about 125. He could have outmaneuvered his father, even take him out. Or better yet, like the American, have a conversation and discussing, "Father, you sound ludicrous. You're going to offer me up? You sure that's God?" But what happened? Abraham bound his son to be offered. In the context, nothing is mentioned about a wrestling or a disagreement. I'm not saying that it was easy for them. That's not what I'm saying. I know that there was an emotional bond between a father and a son, and it wasn't easy. This is my personal thoughts. I believe Isaac witnessed the dynamic and beautiful relationship that he had with his father and God. That Isaac witnessed what God was doing in Abraham's life. That he would hear the stories that Abraham would share to Isaac as he was growing up, what God had done in his life. Even more importantly, or at least one important story, the miraculous birth of Isaac. Isaac would probably even hear the conversation that Abraham and God had. How amazing is that? So when it came time to be bound, I believe that Isaac, knowing Abraham, his father's relationship with God, that he was submissive. Again, that is my personal thought. As we move to verse 10, Abraham is one step away from completing what God had called him. 3 days have gone by. Again, we see that Abraham had faith in regards of what God promised he could do. That his son would be an offspring, and that offspring would be multiplied. Abraham had that faith. Abraham had the faith that in verse 5, remember, we will go and worship and come back, that God could raise him from the dead. Again, we see Abraham's intentions to obey. Do you ever wonder what goes through a person's mind in a situation like this? We have the great privilege to read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 and 19, to at least understand what was going through his mind. The Holy Spirit inspired the author of Hebrews to record what was going through his mind. Most of you know that Hebrews 11 is a chapter of people who had extraordinary faith, but who lived an ordinary life. And so we see here in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, it says this: "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises that were, which was in act of offering up his son, his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.'" Abraham considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead. Abraham had that kind of faith. He lived it out by being obedient. So by the time he raises the knife, there is no hesitation. He has been faithful to God, and his intent and purpose is to show and demonstrate by being obedient. But in that moment, he exercised faith that he believed that God could raise him from the dead and restore Isaac to life. And so we see Abraham raising the knife. And we see in verse 11 the word "but," this conjunction There's this contrast, and what do we hear? The angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham. And what does Abraham say again? Here am I. Three times he says that, in the understanding that he was ready to do what was best. One of the amazing things is that Abraham stops and that he is in tune in what was going on. That he wasn't caught up in just doing one thing, but he was in tune with what God was going to say. In verse 12, this is the key reason or the motivation of Abraham's obedience, or at least that's what I believe. This is the motivation that was driving Abraham to do what he was doing. In verse 12, it says this, "For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham feared God. The word fear could be terrified or afraid, but also carries the connotation of reverence and respect. For 50 years, do you think Abraham was terrified from God? No. That relationship blossomed and he had this respect for God. Again, he got to witness what God was doing in Abraham's life, particularly his son Isaac. Abraham's motivation for obeying was respect for God. His faith was the vehicle for obedience. He respected God so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son whom he loved. In other words, Abraham loved God more than his son. Could you say that about yourself? Could you say that you love God more than anyone? How would you measure that? How would you measure that you love God more than anyone? It would be easy. How's that, Jonathan? Well, how do you use your time? It'd be foolish for me to say that I love my wife and never spend time with her. It would be foolish for me to say that I love the Lord, but not, I don't spend time in his word or pray. Going back to our text, Abraham had this intimate relationship. We find out in verse 13, Abraham found a ram, sacrifices the ram and offers and worships. Verse 14, he calls the place, "The Lord will provide." Again, I think as I was studying this, where's Isaac in all this? He's not on the altar anymore. Where is he? I'm assuming he's right there witnessing all that is going on. The conversation with God. Again, he gets the privilege to see his father interact. And then we see that Abraham again is obedient to God by sacrificing a ram. And Abraham and Isaac do what? They worship together. Verses 15 through 19, the angel of the Lord reaffirmed that God would fulfill his promises to Abraham. That God would multiply Abraham's offspring, and those offspring would be a blessing to all nations. And then we find out in verse 19, Abraham keeps his word to the young men. And that is what? He went, he worshiped, and him and his son came back. We see Abraham's obedience and his exemplary faith in this passage. Again, the 3 points, just a way of reminder. Abraham understood God's command, or understanding God's command. We have God's word. The second point, responding to God's command. It's one thing to have a Bible, it's another thing to read it, but it's another thing to respond to God's word. And the third point, the motivation of obeying God's command. The motivation of obeying God's command. And what was the motivation? That he feared God. I just have one application. A friend told me just focus on one, so I'm going to focus on one. So what can we learn from Abraham's obedience? What can we learn about Abraham's obedience? He had a reason for obeying. What was his motivation? What was his driving force? Verse 12 tells us he feared God. Again, in the context, he had an honor and respect and a reverence for God. Again, just a way of reminder, Abraham by now has spent 50 years with God. That Abraham understood that God was personal, that God took delight in Abraham and his affairs of life. That Abraham understood that God was a just judge. If you remember, if you go back, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham would learn that God does not tolerate sin. That God is good and gracious, that God is sovereign and all-powerful, that God keeps his promise. That ultimately God was trustworthy. Abraham's motivation, the reason why he was obedient, stemmed from knowing who God was. Because he knew God, he was willing to do what God was asking. I don't know if you have a relationship like that with someone. Can you think in your mind or imagine someone that you have built that relationship that is intimate, that has blossomed, that has flourished, that if you were to ask that person to do something, they would do what? Be willing. Now, if I asked you if I can have $5, I don't think that's going to happen. One, because you don't know me and I don't know you. But if we spent time together growing and building each other up, and if I was on the street and I said, can I get $5? You'd be like, Jonathan, I know you. Or if I asked you to watch my kids, hopefully I better know you. Let me read a testimony of a lady who understood who God was. And hopefully you get to see in this testimony the lady's motivation of obeying God. Some years ago, there was a young lady who married a young man, both Americans, both believers. The husband and wife had married young, and after some years, their family grew. They had two children. The wife was a stay-at-home mother, while the husband worked overseas. For years, she took care of the children while the husband traveled back and forth internationally. One day, the wife receives an unexpected letter from abroad. Her husband wrote back and said in the letter that he decided he was not coming back. He wrote in the letter that he did not love her anymore and that he had remarried, that he met a younger lady, a local lady overseas. The American wife was left with two children to raise on her own. She was devastated, but her faith as a Christian gave her hope. She never divorced but continued to pray that he would return. Years went by and she never heard from him. And so she raised her two children as a single mother. Several years would pass, and behold, she received another letter from her husband. He had shared that he was dying from cancer. However, his current wife and children were not able to be supported after he dies. He had requested if she would take care of them. Her faith in God was tested. After she had raised his former children for years, she had neither heard from him nor received any financial support. She thought, how dare he ask me of this? Do you understand what's going on? Lady who is married, husband decides to leave, go overseas, writes a letter, I'm not coming back. And now he has cancers and writes a letter to his former wife and says, I'm dying, but I have another family. Hopefully you get the picture of what's going on. She thought, how dare he ask me of this? She prayed and sought God. In that moment of fellowshipping with God, she understood who God was and his love for her. So she wrote back and accepted the offer. Imagine this lady. This lady was not motivated by what she would gain from this new relationship. She received nothing from her husband, and yet she would receive this new family and love on them. She took care of her husband's current family by providing the needs every day, as well as meeting the needs of her own family. Why would this lady do that? You would ask around 100 people, and you probably will get 100 answers back saying that I would never do that. What was the intention in showing love to a family that she did not even know, especially what her husband did to her? Unless she feared God. Unless she had a reverence like Abraham towards God. What about you? What about you? What motivates you in this life? The more we understand who God is, we will be motivated to trust and respect him. Our time with the Lord will enable us to obey him. We saw that in Abraham's life. Hopefully you learned from Abraham's life and the American mother that they were intimate with God, which cultivated a heart of obedience. A person's obedience, and I'll close with this thought, a person's obedience to God's commands arises out of a love for God and is based on a delight in his commands as revealed in Scripture. Let me just say that one more time. A person's obedience to God's commands arises out of a love for God and is based on a delight in his commands as revealed in Scripture. May that be ever true of us. Let me close in prayer. Lord, it's so good to be in your presence and to know you. I personally thank you that it is said and done. Thank you for the example that Abraham lived, and more importantly, that we get to see his motivation of why he did what he did. And Lord, we know that he is a model, but not the model. That we look to Jesus as the ultimate model who lived a perfect and obedient life. I pray, Lord, that as we follow Christ, that people will follow us, not because of us, but because of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word and that those who have ears to hear, they would hear. And those who do not know you yet, Lord, that they would come to a place of understanding who you are. That they would understand your commands. That they would respond to your commands. And more importantly, that the motivation of their hearts in regards of obeying your commands is because they fear you. That they have a reverence, a genuine love to do what you call them to do. To you be the glory, O God. Amen.